Yes. We're starting a new series, Now Is The Time. Now Is The Time. And being away on holiday for a week, I guess that's as far as series has came for, is that now is the time to do things, you can. We are great at procrastinating, we're great at putting things off, but really, now is the time. And I guess this message comes off the back of just feeling vulnerable in life. We're all alive, aren't we? Now, up until now, we're alive. Yes. So I'm speaking to a bunch of alive people. But it's not always going to be like this, and the Bible is very clear that life is but a mist. We're here, and then we're not here. It's like, we think, especially when I was younger, I thought, life's just got to be endless, and it's, we're all just going to, you don't really think about the end game and how you got to depart this world, do you? And it's a sobering thought, the thought of death. It's a somber thought, and I'm not telling you this stuff to get you somber. This is truth. And so we need to get things in our life. Look, now is the time to do stuff because you might not last longer than the end of this day. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I'm a great flyer. I've got to say, I didn't panic when I fly. I've got no fear of flying in aeroplanes. But I've got to tell you, I feel slightly vulnerable when that engines are roaring. And you think, I want to get blasted here. We are these people. And you go, how much miles an hour? And I want to get blasted up high in the sky. And I have no idea how this plane works. I can't, it must be more powerful than gravity, and our trust is in pilots, or trust is in mechanics. Somebody else feel like slightly vulnerable at that point when you're sitting there strapped in. You're thinking, I want to get shot up into the atmosphere. You kind of now feel slightly, hold on a minute, I'm going to be up in the sky, and accidents happen. I'm not trying to put the fear of death in the folk. We live in a fallen world, the accidents happen, and so you think, oh no. Didn't it scare me driving my kids to school, but slightly, I'd say 5% vulnerable when I'm flying in a plane and that engine, you just hear it kick in, it goes roar, and here it goes. Here we go. Only thing can happen. It's an absolute miracle, I think, flying in the aeroplanes. We take it for granted, and we moan because it's now got a good movie. You're not able to watch a good movie while you're going thousands of miles an hour, hundreds of kilometers up in space, and we want the creature comforts of watching the movies that's not out yet in the cinema. Listen, you're flying incredibly fast, incredibly quickly to get to a destination, so be thankful for that. But I've got to say, it just made me slightly vulnerable. I started to evaluate while I was in holidays. What is my role in church and in life? And it's good to take stock of your life and think, what is my life about? What is a church life about? And ask myself the question, is the ministry of the church simply this, to get people through life? Is to get people through life as easy and as comfortable as possible with God's help, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the grace of the Lord, to get through this life? Or is it to prepare people for eternity? Or is it Beth? Maybe a bad Beth, is it? But I started to think, going, if I did a 12-week series on how to get through this life and do it well and be successful and be everything God's called you to be and prosper and be healthy, be loved, love others. I did a 12-week series on that. What happens if you only get to, I only get to 6 weeks, and then I'm called home? What happens if I get to week 3 and you're called home and your time on earth is done? What good is that? If I did 12 weeks on preparing for eternity, maybe only last 3 weeks, but praise God. Because eternity is forever. Life is so precious, yet it's so short. And think about this reality. Unless Jesus comes back everybody in this room will go someday. And Abdi was caring. I've got to die. Everybody in this room, sure as paying taxes, we will go. And our kids might remember us, and a generation might remember us. They might speak about us fondly. And the generation after that, the second, third generation, they'll think about us less. How dare they? And the fourth generation will only mind on us with our Facebook profiles. And they'll speak about how weird we are, or whiz, and our hairstyles. The fifth generation have, yeah, we remember that long, really, are we? In this church, 21 years, oh. And they'll probably have 100, unless the Lord comes back, they'll have FCC 100. 79 years' time. Mine, they'll probably get a sentence. And they'll speak about how we did things back then, and look at the colour of the carpets and things like that, and how things were different. The reality is, we're only messed to us, and they're going to live to see FCC 100. We've seen Elam 100, hallelujah. Wonder if we'll get a mention in Elam 200. We didn't get in Elam 100. And I ain't kidding if we're getting in Elam 200. I'm telling you this because this is a reality of life. How much people do we speak about for four generations ago? There's some heroes, there's some famous people, there's some poets, there's some good books out there for four generations ago. But you ask me, my family tree for my great-great, my granny's going to show what I'm doing here, like my great-great-great-great grannies and grandpas. Unfortunately, I didn't care too much about them because life is fleeting and people move on and we are but a mist. And so some things need to happen. We need to say, now is the time to do stuff or else life's going to pass us by. And as you're on a plane thinking, if it would have changed about my life, I've got no regrets really. But doesn't it mean I just shouldn't change and aspire to be something or be somebody and get things in my life new? Because Jesus speaks very clearly about eternity, that what you do in this life actually matters. It matters for eternity. It matters the choices you make. It matters about the people you've loved. It matters how much things you've given away. It matters about the seeds that you've sown. It matters about how you've forgiven. And all these things have eternal consequences. Well, maybe they speak about enough, but his. So life is not just about getting through this space comfortably without struggling, without ease. Life is about investing for eternity because we're going to be there forever. And we've got to take this thing as seize the day, carpe diem. Come on, now is the time. And so this morning, it's about now is the time to follow. But let me read you this. This is going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4, that's what we need to prepare for. Verse 13. It's very clear in the Bible, the world and desires pass away, but the person who does the will of God lives forever. Everything we see is death and decay, and we mark new things, and we have to get new phones and iPhones and buildings because everything's towards decay. This day is going to happen. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know. I want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. We are supposed to live in this life with hope of eternity. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. This will happen. We tell you this directly from the Lord. This is Paul. This is no messing about. This is truth. He said, I'm speaking directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. I'm encouraging you with these words. Now, concerning how and when all these things will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you. You know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. And how much prophecy is over it that it's next month, next year, and better get ready because he will come unexpectedly. So we need to be ready. Now is the time to be ready. Then I put off to tomorrow, next year, I'll get ready next year. He might come before you next year and tomorrow. He might come within the time I've finished this sermon. He will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. There will be no escape. Boom. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you all are children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard. Not asleep like others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. He's got to come like a thief. Be ready. Now is the time to get ready for Christ's return. And I could tell you, so just be peaceful. Be peaceful in the world. Be peaceful. Nothing's peaceful. Let's just be peaceful. Let's get through this life as peaceful as possible. Just be on your guard. Just be ready for Christ's return. And so I'm telling you this morning, let's be ready for Christ's return. Now is the time to follow. I remember somebody said, hysterical, with the invention of satellite, that the earth is now ready for Christ's return. Because now Abdi will be able to see it. Because it'll be beamed to every house in the world. Because before the invention of satellite TV, it might have came in Jerusalem, but nobody would be able to see it and nobody would have kent. Jesus doesn't need satellite TV when he returns. And I'm the guy who's sitting in my house flicking through the channels. And it's going to come up a BBC interruption that Jesus has returned. And I'll say, Isabel, get a popcorn. This is what I've been waiting for. It's got to be the greatest thing the world has ever seen, and also the most terriblest thing the world has ever seen. The greatest thing for a Christian, them that have waited for his return, boom. Them that have died before us, they've born again, believe in Jesus, will meet him in the air. It's got to be a loud trumpet call with multitudes, billions upon billions of angels coming with him. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we will meet him as well, be changed and transformed like him, for we will see him as he is. And so we've got to get this thing that now is the time, because that day is coming. Be ready. It'll be like a thief in the middle of the night. Okay, I'm going to try and stick to my notes here. But why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because the realization of the temporal side of life, the fleetingness of life, is an absolute gift. I'm telling you. When you realize that life is but a mist, that fit you dean here is important eternally, it's an absolute gift. When you realize that you may are the one in this world, that you may set out and achieve everything that you set out to do, and you may accumulate all the buildings in the world, when you realize that you can accumulate all that, and in God's eyes, it means absolutely nothing. It's an absolute gift. And Jesus says, benefit a single soul if he gets everything in the world, yet forfeits his very own soul. Jesus was saying this, you can be as ambitious as you want, get everything that your heart and eyes desire, everything of eternal wealth and health and prosperity, but fit doesn't matter if you forfeit your eternal security in Christ Jesus. And it's a gift for the Christian that we realize that everything that we could lust after, to crave towards, or the ambition, it's all temporal. And why is that a gift? Because it releases your heart from bondage and chasing the things of the world. And your heart is free just to serve Christ. Your heart is free to follow him. People, now is the time to follow him. It is a sad thing to see so many famous people committing suicide. That it seems to be an epidemic. I'm not sure if you'd go on media and all that. But every year it seems to be getting greater and greater, the amount of famous people that decide to take their own lives. And you think, why is that? Because that people have worked hard, they've been ambitious, they've been rejected, they've persevered, they've had giftings, they've been turned down, and they reach the pinnacle of what they set out to do, and then they realize this. It doesn't satisfy my soul. It was a dream, and it was an illusion. And with greater wealth came greater problems, with greater fame came greater problems. And to speak like us brings freedom and truth. Because now is the time that we need to realign things in our church and things in our hearts and to be set free. You can imagine these people growing up, oh, I want to be as famous. Oh, I want to be as just folk to listen to the music I create and how amazing that will be. And then it happens and then their heart is still so hollow. Their heart is still so empty. And it's Jesus' words, you can gain the whole world, but then I forfeit your soul. Then I forfeit for coons, because now is the time to follow Christ. The satisfaction is not in the things of the world, it's in the things of Christ. So turn to your neighbor and say, now is the time. And then say, to follow him. To follow Jesus. To be Christ followers in this world. And weigh up the demands that the gospel puts on a person and still say, I'm still going to follow him. I think we have cheapened and lessened this thing called grace. And we ignore the demands placed on a Christian. And we've made it very easy just to invite people to Christ without recognizing the demands placed on the Christian, the old ham, the back row, all of us, demands my life, my soul, my very all. And he's the only one that can take out for me if I am willing to follow him. My part is to be willing to follow Jesus, but he comes in, takes me at my word, and empowers me to live a life that is worthy of him. That is grace. Grace justifies the sinner. Grace justifies a person, but Jesus has never sought out to justify sin. So before Christ, we are made holy. Hallelujah. It justifies me as a person that I am unworthy of him. I am worthy on heaven, but the power of Jesus through the cross and his blood justifies me as a person. And I am bought at a price. I am bought with the precious blood of Jesus. But in there, why did Jesus Christ set out to justify sin and say, it's okay, do what you like. Get involved with destructive things and habits, it's okay. I'll turn a blind eye. That's cheap grace. Grace empowers us to live free unto Christ. Jesus didn't say in grace and truth. It's not just grace, it's grace and truth. He didn't say in grace to say, it's all right, I paid the price. Live like the world and the world. If when I come back, I'll tell you it's okay, pat you in the back. Now is the time, people, that we need to follow Jesus. And we need to be sure straight down the line there's a difference between darkness and light. And we need to be straight down the line there's a difference between holiness and evil. And I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes, but God will take a willing, broken heart. He said, I'm willing to follow you, Jesus. He says, great. I'm going to empower you to live for me. But often in a Christian life, when I run about kind of why just to get people to Jesus, we have lessened the demands. And then oftentimes it's been, hey, just come. Just say one prayer. Just say one thing. Ask forgiveness once, and that's you. It doesn't matter for your day, it doesn't matter your journey, it doesn't matter about our lifestyle, just say this one thing. And if you're serious, which we'd like you to be, then come. Get up 2 hours of your Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12:00. Delighted to see you. That's a demand. It's really serious and spiritual. Come at the 5 o'clock service for spiritual ones. That's a demand. Lesson to 10. If you're really serious, maybe get some for the serious ones. Get involved in a ministry. We'll give you a ministry card. And there is a progression. I'm making Dem and Nebdi for infancy to maturity. And sometimes it starts with a prayer and the forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. We have first demands that Christ gives disciples in his church. It's come. Follow me. Now is the time to come follow. Didn't it say it's not about you read through the Bible, you take it literally, take the Gospels literally. It's nothing about just saying a once thing. It's about preparing yourself, being ready. It's coming like a thief in the night. Stay alert, be clear-minded. Put your heart on him, set the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added. Do not be anxious. Continue to pray. Persevere in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Fill your heart. Be single-minded for Christ Jesus and be obedient. May your life be changed and transformed by the power of Jesus if you are willing to pick up your cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. That's the Christian soldier mantra. It's not to say one thing once, it's to now is the time that the church needs to be single-hearted for his Savior. And to follow Christ and everything that that demands. When you see Jesus calling his disciples, you can read it in John chapter 1. You see him meeting his disciples. Levi, you see him Peter after the miraculous catch of fish. There was the words. Well, them that came, there was a word he used. Come, follow me. Leave everything. And you've got Levi, the cheating tax collector, sitting there. If it is Levi D, he gets up and he follows Jesus. What a cost. He sees Peter struggling to catch fish. And Jesus jumps on the boat. Not cast too far, it's deeper. Go far, it's deeper. And Peter says, okay, I'll follow your word. Catch as far as deeper. It's a miraculous catch of fish. And Peter is to shout in his Per Trawler. Per Trawler comes along and it was a miraculous catch of fish. All the fish is scattered about the harbour. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Come, follow me. Walk away for your fame and fortune. Walk away for the miraculous catch of fish. Your livelihood. Your parents' opinion. Walk away for that. Come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Amen. That's the question that hangs over each one of us. Are we following Jesus? We are the demands. Come follow me. Jesus never turned up to Levi or Peter. Imagine he'd say this. Hey guys, dude, let's get on the level here. What's that? People say they maybe followed them because they'd heard how good he was and did it in miracles, but we'll go for the miracles. Scripture leaves no room that actually happened. Listen, the voice of Jesus to come follow is enough for you. That should be enough for us. Nick is good and we heard his miracles. He is the master. He's the creator of the universe. He is King Jesus. If I say to my kids, go clean your room, that should be enough. I didn't expect them to second guess. Oh, maybe he's went to Marcus supper that day. Yeah, I wonder. He's maybe going to buy us another Christmas present. I say, go clean your room. What does that mean? Go clean your room. I'm the boss. Jesus is the boss. If he says, come follow, where's our left to do? Why should we second guess what Jesus said and say, well, maybe this theory or that theory, that might happen? Jesus says, come follow me. Get your stuff, leave whatever needs to be left and follow him. It's the only thing that's got to be worth it on a value when he comes back. He never turned up to Levi and Peter and says, hey, listen, I've got a shortcut to heaven for you, guys. Just believe in me. Stay where you're at. Just say, just believe in me. You don't even need to testify on that. Just in your heart, very quietly, say you believe in me. And then live like you've lived. Still cheat. Still go for the fame and fortune. Just, if you can, if possible, if you could give me 2 hours of your Sunday, meet me in the synagogue, that would, I'd be very grateful, but you don't even have to do that. If you don't want to go to church, then go to church. But if you really, I'd like you if you did. If you're really, really spiritual, go to 5 o'clock service for extra brownie points. Never did it. You never went to Peter and says, okay, Peter, just believe it. I'll give you a shortcut to heaven, Peter. Do what you want. Do your ambitious stuff. Hang about your fish. Live like you want to live. Just spoken to Levi. He might be a bit keen in doing my last-hour plan. I didn't need to do if you don't really have to go to church, do you? Because that's law. When they're under the law, I'm bringing grace. If you want, I'm not forcing you. You can meet me in the synagogue between 10:30 and 12:30. Listen to the announcements. I worship a while. It's a hard demand, don't you? Really spiritual, Peter. Get yourself to the 5 o'clock service. You don't have to. I'm not forcing you. It's cool if you don't want to go. He didn't say that, did he? Boom. Didn't leave no room for that. And this is Jesus bringing grace and truth. And the demands were, come, follow me. Leave your occupation if you have to. Leave your money behind if it's greed has captivated your heart. I have a family with my mom and dad's opinion. Jesus leaves no room. He says, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus demands people, these people that would follow him in spite of loss and in spite of suffering, because he is Jesus. And we know that he's working out all things for good according to his good and perfect plan and his perfect will. But we got to leave that to him. Husbands, spend time with Jesus, even though your wife maybe doesn't agree with you. We have fallen into largely a Christo convenience. And we will hang out with Christ when it's convenient. We've got time to do it. Because we're under grace, you see. When was the last time you spent time with Christ when it wasn't convenient? Because he has put a demand that now's the time. Follow him. It might mean getting up early, staying up late. When was the last time before your family made a big decision? He says, we're going to stand here and pray. Oh, I'll grab my quiet time and have a cup of coffee and I've got to spare 15 minutes. Is that fit? I'm not making you feel guilty. I'm saying this is truth. I'm not here to please you. Because one day I'm going to meet Christ. And you're not going to be standing next to me to say, you made us feel good. Every week you made us feel good. Jesus will say, was it truth? Did you prepare them for this day? The great and fearful day of the Lord. Did you raise them up? Even if numbers went down in the congregation, did you preach truth in its entirety? Did you encourage them that now is the time to follow? Or did they come back every single week for a pat in the back and say, it's okay, all is well, live at peace with yourself, you don't need to change? Jesus will turn a blind eye to your behavior when he comes back, so let's all just get wasted. And I'm the guy to be next to you to say, they were really good, actually. They said amen. I was preaching in there. We've got to be there on our own. Did you follow me? Will be the words of Jesus. Well, I would have. I just didn't seem to hear the time. I'd have my computer stuff to attend, and God was really busy. My mom and dad was in Sakina, and I come to church. My kids. The kids were maniacs. How am I supposed to have time to pray? And Jesus said, because your kids were maniacs, you should have been praying for your kids. We'll be left with no excuse because we've time for nothing else. And now is the time to follow Jesus, to follow him, to the highways, to the byways, whether it costs us the entire world, whether it costs us every penny in the bank, whether it costs us the opinion of our friends and family that we regard so highly. Jesus trumps everything. He's coming back to rule and reign as King and Lord. And we're expecting a seat in the table. Give him a seat at the table in this life, and you'll have a seat in the table in that life. And I'm not going against the one save always thing. I'm very unsure if that's the way we should go. I says, stand firm in the faith. Be sure of your faith. Are you in the faith? The question isn't, is your attendance good? Is it improving? The question is, are you following Jesus? And do you know if you are following Jesus? It's a yes or a no answer. And you might be able to fool me, and I might be able to fool you. You can fool your wife, your cousin. You can fool Abdi, your employment people. You cannot fool God. I cannot fool God. And that should make us feel humble and scared at the same time, but should waken up the church to say, we need it, and now's the time. We've been playing like fools. We think we'll just float through this world and live like the world. And Jesus will just be pleased at us at a time. Because his love's unconditional. His love is unconditional, but woos us into a lifestyle. Okay. A life transformed, dearie me. I believe God's just looking for people that will say, I'll follow you. There might be ifs, buts, and questions about family, finance, things like that. But there is grace in that thing that changed life or heart. And God looks at people and says, well, if you're willing to follow me, come follow me. Look at the life of Peter. Study the life of Peter. He followed Jesus, Messiah, King. He had the amazing revelation that he was a Messiah. And Jesus says to him, this hasn't been revealed to man. This has came straight from heaven. He says, I believe you're the Messiah. And yet even after that, Jesus was saying, I'm going to suffer. He said, you're not going to suffer, Jesus. I'll never let that happen to you, mate. I've got your back. You die, I die. You go to prison, I go to prison. I will never deny you. And Jesus says, after 3 years of following him, and this is the Peter that says, I'm going to leave fishing boats and hunting for you. He did it. He says, I'm answering the call. Now's the time I'm following him. And Jesus says, well, actually, Peter, I'll tell you the truth. You've got to deny my 3 times. I'll never deny you, Jesus. Maybe we're in this place this morning. We've said we've got to follow. Maybe our lifestyles, well, maybe we're not following as we should. And as it happened, a little girl stand at a fire. Hey, I've seen you, Jesus, lad, it's why I get crucified. No, I didn't care him. Said Peter, never heard of him. First denial. Yes, we've seen you, we have him at the seashore. You listen, he was wee Anthony Dot. Never seen him before in my life. And it says, and Peter started swearing. Profanity is about himself. Started cursing and swearing. He took offense. He denied him a second time and a third time. Then the rooster crowed. Then he realized, oh no. He said, I was going to follow him. I'm not following him unto death. I'm not living the crucified life. Got scared. full of pride. I had my own agenda. I loved the miracles, but yet then they want to suffer. Jesus gave him another chance after the resurrection. Hallelujah. He met him on the seashore and says, well, now is the time then. Are you going to follow me? Do you love me? You know I love you, Jesus. No, but do you really love me? You know I love you, Jesus. Denied him three times, and Jesus gave him three times, three opportunities to say that he loved him. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Jesus. You know everything about me. And Jesus, come on. Yes, come follow me again. And I believe the heart of the Lord is church. Stop navigating and trying to get a wowy stuff. Are we going to follow Jesus? Do you love him? Yes. We've been given a second chance, a third chance, and a fourth chance. And he will, if you are open to the power of the Holy Spirit, he will transform your life. And he'll change it, and he'll look more like Jesus today than you'll ever be. If it does it take, it takes a second or a changed mind to go from darkness to light. It can happen now. Stop putting it off. Now is the time to follow him. Stop making excuses and saying, well, my wait till my circumstances changed. I've got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies to snoo. It's taking a lot of my time. Next week I'll be freer to follow Jesus. Next month I'll be freer to follow Jesus. Next year I'll be freer to follow Jesus. When my kids go to school, when they grow up, when they leave the house, then I will follow Jesus with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now is the time. You might not get next week. You might not get next month. You might not get next year. If you wait for the right time to follow Jesus, you will never do it. Never. There is never a hello responding. He's my first follower. If you are waiting for circumstances to change for you to say, I will follow Jesus, you will never, ever, ever do it. Your circumstances will never be so smooth that you will say, now is the time. I've got plenty of time for Jesus' name. There is always something going to grasp your heart. There's always something that's going to consume your mind. There's always something else your hands are going to find doing. There's always some other opportunity you walk into. Now is the time. Stop putting it off. Oh, I'm so unworthy. Christ has made you worthy. And you want your life to be transformed. A life that glorifies Christ. A life that is ready for his return. And he comes back and looks for Christ followers. Christians, Christ followers. It can happen in a second. I'm going to end with yes, then we're going to take communion. Galatians 6:15. This is the conclusion of an amazing book in Galatians. It doesn't matter. This is Paul speaking. It doesn't matter if we've been circumcised or not. I'm not going to explain that. If you don't care for that is, Google it or ask your parents. What matters is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Paul and his Galatians, an amazing book, and he's summing it up and saying, doesn't it matter if he was born a Jew, not born a Jew? He says, it matters for the people of God if you are being transformed. If you're being changed to be more like Christ as you follow him. And then he says, may God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Strong words. This is what matters. We're being transformed into a new creation. Something that looks like Christ on earth. He says, may God's peace and mercy be upon all those who live by this principle. You may be in here and you're lacking peace and you're saying, Father, my joy that I'm promised. Have you made the decision to follow him? If you've made the decision to follow him and are open to his transforming power, then guess what? God's peace and mercy will rest upon you. Maybe you didn't sense God's peace or joy because we've never made it about following Jesus. We've made about something else. And you're looking for me to comfort you and give you peace and give you joy. And you think, I just can't find it. Robbed either will pick up his cross and follow Jesus. A whole avenue of opportunities becomes open in receiving the presence of Christ. It'd be a violation of God's holiness if he was to give people loads of peace and loads of joy that didn't care a jot about it. Is that true? People that are serious, that will go to Christ in the inconvenient times and let God's mercy, peace, and joy flood their soul to follow on Christ. Let's get the worship band up to follow Jesus. We're about to take communion. This is a holy time.